Okay, it's the numbers have started moving. Yeah, it just it's 002 just wave, but it's moving.
Yeah, it's moving. It's fine.
Good morning, members. My name is Mr. Kamari.
Can we also have an introduction of the guest stepping this through? Good morning. I'm Richard Davies. I'm the
The name is Pastor Mukhadam Rusia, and I'm the chairperson of Group C of Okayala Gunya Human Development, and I also represent the District 6 Reference Group. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Lester from ENCA.
Good morning. My name is Zaid Addis from ENCA.
Hold that is from the Burgers.
I'm Victoria from PMG.
Good morning, sir. Tamba Kusa from the Deputy President Office.
Thank you. We now hand over to the department to the on the three international agreements as stated in the document. Thank you. I will then allow members to ask questions for clarities and then decide on the way forward. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, members, thank you. We're going to use the hard copy. I understand we do not have a laptop today to do show the presentation. We, as a country, we are participating in shared stock that are roaming the particularly the international waters, and these shared resources are managed through agreements between members of parties that have agreed in the regional fisheries management organizations, and the fisheries management organizations structures that are established for the purpose of managing and monitoring these shared stocks, facilitate how the sharing will take place, but also ensure the sustainability in terms of the protection of those resources. We have in the two of the three agreements an opportunity to grow our fishery opportunities, and in the third one, an opportunity to preserve and protect our resources. On the second slide, Jefferson, the purpose of this presentation is to seek the support and the approval with respect to the three agreements: the Indian Ocean Tuna Commission, the Commission for Conservation of Southern Bluefin Tuna, and the FAO, or the Food and Agriculture Organization, Port State Measures. These abbreviations will be used, the IOTC, throughout the presentation, the CCSBT, and the PSM for the Port State Measures. On slide number three, the outline includes the introduction, then I will deal with the IOTC, I will deal with the CCSBT, and I will deal with the FAO Port State Measures. On slide number three, the Marine Living Resources Act of 1998 addresses the transformation and the management of South Africa's fisheries within our EEZ. As a country, South Africa is a contracting party and a member of several regional fisheries organizations, whose broader objectives are the sustainable management of the shared fish stocks in the international waters. We, as a country, have a fishery stocks that are relatively well established, and they are seen as an important means towards food security, towards job creation and economic growth. And therefore, Honorable Chairperson and members, accession to these three agreements addresses some key government imperatives for fisheries and would enable the country to negotiate larger quotas in the case of the first two agreements that would show a positive economic benefit for the fisheries sector. I'm on slide number 5 on what is the importance of acceding to the first agreement, the Indian Ocean Tuna Commission Agreement. The agreement for the establishment of the Indian Ocean Tuna Commission is an intergovernmental regional fisheries management organization mandated to manage tuna and tuna-like species in the Indian Ocean. Its objective is to promote cooperation amongst its members with a view to ensure conservation and optimum utilization of the stocks and encourage sustainable development of fisheries based on such stocks. South Africa's long-line fishing effort for tuna, originally developed in the Atlantic in 1998, but has since 2002 expanded to include the Indian Ocean. Currently, most of South Africa's long-line fishing effort is now focused in the Indian Ocean, where the catch rates are higher compared to the Atlantic. And one could say, Chair, the Indian Ocean Commission, Tuna Commission, is almost a mirror image of the Atlantic Tuna Commission. As a cooperating non-contracting party, and this basically say we are not a full member, we just cooperating, but we are not a full member or a fully contracted party. South Africa is obliged to adhere to all the management and conservation measures of the IOTC, including data reporting as required for all the members. Secondly, that we should apply for this particular status of becoming a full member. As long as we're not a full member, we would have to renew our status every year. Now, as a cooperating non-contracting party, South Africa is not allowed to table proposals or vote on any conservation and management measures adopted by the IOTC. And these factors create large uncertainty in securing long-term access rights for our vessels to fish for tuna in the Indian Ocean. So the decisions will always be taken in without our vote. I'm on slide number 6. By acceding to the IOTC agreement, government would create more secure environment for the development of the tuna longline fishery by creating greater access to fishing opportunities. And this will promote creation of new jobs and would contribute to improving the quality of existing employment in the sector. And this will provide incentives also for foreign fishing vessels to reflag and encourage the activation of rights by non-active right holders. If we become a full member to the IOTC, we could increase the tuna fisheries from the current estimated 150 million industry to an estimated 600 million industry in foreign currency. The full membership to the IOTC would allow South Africa to table its concerns, to influence the decisions taken at the IOTC pertaining to the management of tuna and the tuna-like resources in the Indian Ocean. Because as a full member, the annual financial membership contribution for South Africa is estimated to be around between $30,000 to $35,000, and that will depend on the current catches. South Africa is already a long-standing and important member of the International Commission for the Conservation of Atlantic Tunas, the ICAT, which plays a similar role to the IOTC, but manages the Indian Ocean tuna resources. As I said, the IOTC will be a mirror image of the ICAT. I'm going on to slide number 7, and I'll take the second agreement. The Commission for Conservation for Southern Bluefin Tuna, the CCSBT. It is an intergovernmental organization solely responsible for the management of Southern Bluefin Tuna. Honorable Chairperson and members, I should indicate that the membership in all the cases, it's taken by governments or countries. There would be no private members. The Southern Bluefin Tuna is a high-value commodity species, and it is the most valuable fish species occurring in our EEZ. And this species is fished by 9 fishing nations that includes Japan, Australia, Korea, Taiwan, Indonesia, New Zealand, Philippines, the EU, and South Africa. And South Africa is one of only 4 countries that have Southern Bluefin Tuna occurring in its water. So it is a very important species, but also when we become members, it makes us a very important member of the CCSBT. South Africa is currently a cooperating, not contracting party of the CCSBT, so we are not a full member. If we would use the common language, we are an associate member. As such, it does not have any voting power in adopting the conservation and the management measures or negotiating country allocations. Consequently, South Africa has been allocated a small quota of only 40 tons, which accounts for less than 0.05% of the global total allowable catch for this developing tuna longline fishery. So of the available quota, we only get 0.5% of that quota. South Africa, by virtue of its geographic position, is the world's most important port state for this tuna species. And up to 20% of the global southern bluefin tuna quota move through South African ports annually. And therefore, South Africa has been recognized by member parties of the CCSBT as an important role player in the management of this resource within the Commission. Why it is important to accede to this agreement? This would greatly improve our negotiating position for a more equitable southern bluefin quotas, as all management decisions allocations are based on 100% consensus by members' parties. A larger quota would assist in stabilizing the tuna fisheries, create new jobs, improve the quality of jobs, and will provide incentives for foreign vessels to reflag, and would increase the foreign revenue. The CSBT, or this commission, has offered initial increase in South Africa's quota from 40 tons to 80 tons in 2013. We missed this because by 2013 we were not acceded, so we missed that opportunity. And it would have increased from 40 to 80 in 2013 and from there to 150 in 2014. We've missed this again. The annual meeting has been held last month and we were still not members. So we still remain at 40 when by now we should have been at 150 tons of the allocation. Further, the allocations will be subject to negotiations and the rebuilding of success of the stocks. if we become a full member to this tuna regional fisheries management organization, this can, as I've indicated, it would contribute towards building our tuna industry to almost 600 million. The membership, if we become a full member, it is estimated to at 72,000 Australian dollars if we had received the if we received the 80 tons. We expect that as soon as we accede, we would be increased to that, and we expect to pay 72,000 Australian dollars, which is approximately 12 million in foreign exchange. South Africa is already a long-standing and important member of the ICAT, which is the International Commission for Conservation of Atlantic Tuna, which is a mirror image of the both the IATC and the CCFBT. I will proceed to slide number 10 and deal with the last agreement on the port state measures. And this agreement, Chairperson, is intended to help us curb the problem that is stuck in the whole world of illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, which is a global threat to sustainable fisheries and to the management and the conservation of fisheries resources and marine biodiversity. As a tool to combat the illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, the importance of enhanced port state control is increasingly gained ground throughout the last decennium and throughout the world. The agreement of the port state measures to prevent, to deter, eliminate the IUU fishing was approved by the FAO conference at its 36th session on November 22nd, 2009. And this agreement aims to prevent illegally caught fish from entering international markets through our ports. Establishing a network of ports adopting state measures is regarded as the most cost-effective means of combating the IUU fishing. As we speak now, there are 23 signatories to the FAO port state measures, and that includes in Africa, Angola, Kenya, Mozambique, Sierra Leone, in amongst others. And we expect, it is expected that ourselves and Namibia will probably join sooner if we get that support. Establishing a network of ports adopting port state measures is seen as very, very important. I'm going on to slide number 11. South Africa is considered to be the most important port state in the region, with over 800 foreign fishing vessels licitation in some years, representing over 30 flag states. So there are that many number of vessels that would pass through our shores. By acceding to the FAO port state measures agreement to prevent and deter and eliminate illegal and unreported and unregulated fishing agreement, South Africa will be part of an international and joint effort in combating the IUU. In doing so, South Africa will protect its resources, will protect our markets by not allowing access for illegal fish products, often threatening the livelihood of our fishing industry. And South Africa, by virtue of its engagement and obligations to the regional fisheries management organizations, we are already implementing many aspects of the port state measures that will be required in the other regional fisheries management organizations. And South Africa is a long-standing member of FAO, and therefore there will be no financial implications if we accede to the FAO port state measure agreement. It is an international agreement that helps to prevent and deter and eliminate the IUU. I'm going to the last slide, Chairperson, on the conclusion. I've the tuna longline fishery has the potential to become the third most economically important fishery in South Africa after the hake and small pelagics. And the tuna longline fishery is one of the few fisheries in South Africa that has a realistic opportunity for growth in the short term, but it is dependent on government and the country providing an enabling environment through this accession to the relevant conventions. We already members to a number of the other agreements, and these two will add to the ones we already have. In as far as acceding to the port state measures, South Africa is seen as an important, strategically placed role player in the global attempt to combat IUU. And we would recommend that approval be granted for South Africa to accede to these three agreements. I thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manji. It could have been better if we were provided with tuna fish. Just a question for clarity. Is acceding, the term acceding, same as applying for full membership? Just that. But then, as you noting that question, I will allow then members to ask questions. But the approach, honorable members, will take one agreement at a time, have clarities on that one, and then we then what we can do is the House must endorse these agreements. All that we supposed to do, if we agree, is to recommend to the House for the endorsement of the agreements. We as a committee, we can't endorse the agreement. All we can do is to recommend for the endorsements of the agreements. But the approach, we ask question on the first one, the IO, the Indian Ocean one, and then we go to the next one and the third one. Questions for clarity, mover for endorsement, I mean for recommendation on that one, and then we move to the second one. Questions for clarities, mover for recommendation, and the second, and so all three of them. Thank you very much. I already see hands. Honorable Rafu Skafni. Before I allow you to speak, can we have a list of members who are ready to ask questions? The Honorable Prince. Any other hands? Okay, only those two hands for now.
Thank you, Chair. This is now for the first agreement. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Just a question of clarity. Does the lack of biodiversity management agreements for a large part of the high seas and the lack of success in implementing regional fishery management efforts and a slow transition towards effective market control with reference to the does that influence, or how does it influence this agreement with specific reference to the increase of tuna fishery that you reported from 150 million to 600 million? What I'm actually asking is, this is what you're saying, and this is very good news, because any economic growth that will create jobs is always good news in South Africa, and we can't go against that. My question is, how realistic is that, seeing that all these other things are big challenges? Thank you.
My question is, what is the national legislative framework to enable these international agreements?
Can I allow Mr. Manya and the team to respond on the two questions?
The first one, when the members or the initial members establish or agree to establish a regional fisheries management organization, they will do that, they would ratify that decision. The later members who come when the organization is already in existence, who wants to become full members, will do so through an accession. The question of how realistic are these estimations that we are indicating, considering the various challenges. The intention, why we would want to become, perhaps I should do that, why we would want to become a full member, it's when the allocations are made. If you're not a member, at that point you can make inputs, but when the allocations are made, you don't become, you don't participate, you don't negotiate, because the decisions, these decisions are made through a lot of negotiations, and we would be excluded there. So we're saying there is an opportunity to grow our industry by growing our culture, that's one. There is an opportunity to be part of the whole global community of protecting the available resources and the biodiversity. Now, if we're outside, however capable, however willing, we would not be able to make any meaningful contribution, because our participation is limited. The question around the legislation is that South Africa is we are a signatory to the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, the UNCLOS, which defines the rights, the responsibilities of the nations with respect to their use of the world's oceans. And it establishes also the guidelines for business, for the environment, and for the management of the marine resources.
Okay. I think that the last one on the legislative framework, I think the honourable member wanted to know if there is any act that talks to the agreements that we may endorse. Or does the legislative environment or framework follows the international endorsement? Once we endorse it, then there will be a legislative framework developed by the country that talks to the international agreement.
So who's the specialist in that area?
Okay. Basically, we are, South Africa is led by our national domestic legislation, which is guides us, the Marine Living Resources Act. Our way forward in terms of checking whether these agreements are in line with our domestic legislation would be to go via our chief state law advisors, both from the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, as well as the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, which assess all South Africa's international domestic laws and has given us legal opinions in the line of that when we do accede to these international agreements, we will not be in infringement of our own domestic laws. So that's answering that.
Just a follow-up by Honourable Prince, and then Honourable Taylor will follow. Honourable Lapis.
The impact of the court state measures, agreement.
Correct. Can we follow? Can we still deal with the Indian also?
Okay, sure.
Honourable.
No, it's just a clarity. You say, on both is the tuna, the blue tuna, that school membership, both of them, I just want to know if by coincidence will increase from 150 million to 600 million on both of them. Is that a true? Can you just explain that? Why are the amounts the same?
Which page are you on? Because the Indian Ocean one is page 5 and page 6.
Yes, no. I say, if you look at page 6.
Oh, okay. Or the 150 million.
And then also page 9 on the blue tuna. It's also 150 million to 600 million. So, how does that, I mean, that by coincidence the amounts are the same. Can you just explain the amounts to us? Why are they the same? 150 million to 600 million on both the blue tuna and the, no, thank you.
Thank you very much for the answer. Can I just get a little bit more clarity on South Africa or this department's, the role that we're playing and what is currently in place on biodiversity management of the high seas? Do we have something like that in hand? And I understand this whole thing about when we do international agreements that's not in conflict with our internal legislation, but I would like to know, do we have something like that? Is that in development? Because obviously this will have influence on this agreement. And then I would like to know Pakisha. How does Pakisha dovetail, the project dovetail with the agreement, and is there certain areas for concern or not? Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this stage, let me welcome Honorable Mlambo, who has just joined us. Thank you. Over to the department.
Perhaps I will start with the last one, Chairperson. The Pakisha deals with aquaculture, both marine and freshwater. And the aquaculture development is intended primarily to supplement on the wild stocks that are both declining, partly because of the IUU, and also simply because the demand is growing, and the aquaculture development is intended to supplement that. So it is a supplement to what is already going on. The figures that we are giving on the industry, on the tuna, we're looking at the totality of the industry, and this Chairperson estimates, and that will depend on the allocation. We're making our own estimations on the allocation and the price, the ruling price at that moment. How we reckon that's what we probably will benefit if we get the quota. The more important thing is for us to get the quota and the prices, which are determined and will change from time to time. Okay.
I'll be speaking through the biodiversity questions. South Africa is a member of the Convention of Biodiversity, the International Convention of Biodiversity, commonly called as the CBD. This convention is managed by the Department of Environmental Affairs as the responsibility department. However, the regional fisheries management organizations, by virtue of the establishment, establishes conservation and management measures in the management, in the sustainable management and utilization of fish stocks that are often given clear recommendations by the scientific committees who are established as subcommittees of each of the RFMOs. So under each of the recommendations under the conservation and management measures, careful consideration is taken on the environmental factors as well as the utilization of the resources and how it impacts.
very much, Honorable Kudela, on the same agreement.
No, no, I was going to move for the adoption of the agreement.
No, no, no. I indicated the approach. Let's deal with the first agreement, which is IOTC. I think Honorable Gela was already moving for the recommendation. Can we have a seconder? We have a seconder. Any contrary view? No contrary view. So we agree that we will recommend to the House for the endorsement of the IOPC, the NCOP House. Agreed. Then we... I'm being advised then that I should then be reading what we have agreed on, so that when I read it in the House, you are aware of it. It reads as follows. It's a committee report, because this is going to be, now that we are endorsing it, it's going to be a committee recommendation. So the report on Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources on the agreement for the establishment of an Indian Ocean Tuna Commission, 4th November 2014. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of Agreement for the Establishment of the Indian Ocean Tuna Commission, referred to it, recommends that the Council, in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution, approve the said agreement. Report to be considered. So this is what we then will be reading in the House. Agreed? Then Mr. Gela has proposed and seconded by Mr. Singh for the endorsement of the report. Then I'm signing it, honorable members. Can we allow then that we go to the second one, which is the Convention on the Conservation of the Southern Blue Tuna, abbreviated CCSBT. Can we have questions for clarity on that one? Honorable Prince.
What impact will the court agreement have on the small scale fishing around the port? Thank you, Jeffers.
You got a question, Jeffers. Okay. Any further questions? Honorable Labuska.
Thank you, Chair. On the bluefish tuna, we all know that it's ecologically important species and historically being over-exploited. And part of this agreement also says that we have to be responsible or have to develop and implement conservative fishery management. In order to rebuild spawner the biomass, or to ensure that the stock is growing, are we part of that? Are we geared to do so? And does the department have a budget for that? And what is the budget?
Honorable Scala.
On the blue tuna. On the growing of the stock, will there be any breeding of the stock? And in line with the Honorable Prince, there is any, what role will the emerging sector play in that? Thank you.
Can I add on to that? The bluefish tuna, or the southern bluefish tuna, is also known for only reproducing in one area. Do we have an area like that near our coast, and where is the nearest area? And through this agreement, if not, will we, I assume, we will have access to an area like that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions before we allow the department to respond? Not. Can we have responses? Thank you.
Sure. On the effect of the port state measures on the small scale fisheries. Firstly, we are talking about the struggling or stocks that are moving through the high seas largely. And the small scale fishes by their very nature will not be fishing that far, it is expected. So the port state measures, if we implement them, they would not have a negative impact. They actually are helping us to control, to monitor illegal activities. The majority of people who engage on very destructive activities in terms of illegal fishing are those that are virtually well-resourced. The vessels, very sophisticated, so it will actually just ensure that over time our resources are protected and we don't foresee a negative impact of implementing these measures, because these measures are intended to control the movement of vessels through the various port states. In terms of the breeding and do we have the resources? We have a research component in the department, and this research component enables us to be able to gather all the information we require through doing stock assessments, for instance, in the various areas, and we participate internationally with other members, and we would also provide information and gather information that is used holistically by the regional fisheries management organizations. There was a question on the is the breeding going to happen? Perhaps by the indication that these are struggling stocks and quite offshore, so there will be no breeding program per se that we will be undertaking. Largely is to monitor the stock, what are the stock levels, together with other member countries, and how are they being utilized, how do they get protected. And I take the last one. She is initially marine biology.
Like the DDG has alluded to, there is a research component in the department whereby they assess the stock assessment as well as the data, which is by virtue of South Africa even being in a cooperating non-contracting party status, still required by the Commission. So data reporting is still imminent. A researcher has been appointed in the department dedicated to dealing with the regional fisheries management organizations for the past 4 years, though capacity in this regard could still be improved, but is done at a very good level. They participate in the scientific committee meetings of each of the RFMOs, particularly to which South Africa is full contracting member parties, such as the ICAT, as well as the Southeast Atlantic Fisheries Organization. Coming back to the issue of the southern bluefin tuna, and the geographical or the locations in which they straddle. The straddling stocks are found towards the south, and there are four countries out of the seven contracting member parties who is a range state of the southern bluefin tuna. When we speak about a range state, it refers to a country whereby the stocks would abut through some distance between or over the exclusive economic zone, which is 200 nautical miles, or from the coast of or on the high seas, as well as into international waters, which do not belong to any one country, but is managed through the regional fisheries management organizations. So South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, as well as Indonesia, are the four countries that have the southern bluefin tuna occurring as in its water as range states. The other distant water fleets, such as Japan, Taiwan, and Korea, do not have the southern bluefin tuna. They come into our waters or waters close to where we are to fish the resources, and they have an incredibly higher quota over and above that of South Africa because they are four contracting party members.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions on the second one? If not, I will do the same approach. We indicate that I'll read the statement, and then if there is any endorsement, we'll have a mover and a second, but also allow the contrary view on the matter. So the report then to the National Council of Provinces reads as follows. Report. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the Convention for Conservation of Southern Bluefin Tuna, CCSET, referred to it, recommends that the Council, in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution, approve the said agreement report to be considered. Can we have a mover? Honourable Prince, seconded by Honourable Matabas. Any contrary view? None. Thank you. The third one is the agreement on the establishment of the Indian Ocean Tuna Commission. No, measures agreement. A post-date measure agreement to prevent, isn't it? Yeah, that's the one.
The FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, the Food and Agriculture Organization post-date
measure. Oh, okay. It's called the Food and Agriculture Organization, post-date measure agreement to prevent or deter and eliminate illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. This one is also tabled in terms of 231 of the Constitution, subsection 2. Yeah. Can we have then questions for clarity? Honorable Stephanie, can we have Honorable Smith? Okay, so far the two honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is, although I understand, and you said it out here, that the port site measures won't, there's no extra financial implications to that. I understand that. But on the IUU, the illegal and unreported and unregulated fishing, for me it's logic to curb that, to try and decrease that, there must be some surveillance and monitoring done. Now, this report doesn't give any feedback on that, but do we have the resources, seeing in the light of the previous parliament, there was a big contract done, given to some companies, and in the end, I think it's still not
sorted out, do we have the resources and what happened there. So if we become part of that agreement in total, to have the port in place and the inspections and all those things in the port, that's fine. But will we be complying to this international agreement without being able to surveil and monitor further, and do we have the vessels, do we have the aircraft, and if we have them, I would also like, just for the notice of this committee, to have a breakdown of the current resources that we have, and if you can't have it now, maybe in a report to this committee to see what is the status at this stage. And then the second question, Chair, if you will allow me, is just, do we have any influence at the moment, or do we make any efforts, are we in the process as South Africa, the country, to influence or to get the buy-in of other SADC countries and or other Africa countries to also sign this agreement? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Smith. Thank you, Chairperson. Adding on to what Honorable Lebogang Skakni just said, my question is, what is the estimated implementation cost of this specific agreement? I do understand that there might not be a financial implication in joining, like a joining fee or whatever the case may be, but what is the estimated implementation cost? Has there a investigation been done into what that's going to cost? And obviously it's going to include different departments as well to cooperate in implementing that. If we can just have a breakdown on that as well.
Are there any further questions? Honorable Taylor?
Yeah, I think there's questions in terms of are you, is the department going to have any arrangements with other countries, international arrangements to monitor the shores? Why do I say that? When I was serving in agriculture last term, most of our vessels were in disarray, and most of them are aged. Like most of them are old vessels. They go into repair daily. So will there be any arrangement with international countries to monitor our shores? Is there such an arrangement, and will it, what's it going to be cost effective? Can you just explain us on that? Thank you.
I think yours is similar to the one asked by Honorable Abuskakhn. Are there any further questions before we allow the department to respond? Not. Can you please respond?
Honorable Chair, thank you. I just want to introduce that Benny Liederman, who was struggling to find Paki. He is actually in this component that deals with compliance. Chairperson, let me start by saying the POP State measures, by and large, we are already implementing, because other regional fisheries management organizations have certain requirements of certain elements, and largely we have been complying. And as we said, with other agreements also, even though you're not a contracting party, you're still expected to meet the requirements. You still have to report. And we have been doing that also. If you're asking what are our capabilities at the moment, perhaps we're not the best, but I can tell you with certainty we're not the worst, as sometimes we are being portrayed. We have vessels. Yes, the vessels are operating, and they have the difficulties that any vehicle would have. For instance, you might hear at some point that the Sarah Bartman, which is our main vessel that works offshore, it's not operating, but because it must go for docking. Docking is the same as a major service,
and it will be off for about 3 weeks out of the waters. If the arrangements at the moment as of the 1st of November is that the South African Maritime Safety Authority has, well, perhaps I should start it this way. The Department of Transport has an MOU with the Department of Agriculture. And this entity, the SAMHSA, will be assisting us in two areas. One, we've requested them because of the expertise that is required in the engineering capacity that we don't have, that they would work with us as we work towards the tender for a long-term management of the vessel and the operations of the vessels. But secondly, we had requested them to assist us in the interim whilst we are processing that tender to take over the function that was being carried out, both of ensuring the repairs and the operations of the vessels that was done by two interim contracts, that SAMHSA will close that gap until the tender is back in place. We, in addition, and perhaps because ordinarily we report the large vessels, we do have small boats that we use in between. And even at the time when we had problems with the big vessels, we still have done the best to keep our compliance function in check. And I can indicate that we have successfully had 7 foreign vessels confiscated, prosecuted, forfeited to the state. As we stand, we still have to dispose of those vessels. And that just gives an indication that we are doing the best we can within the limited resources to keep our obligations. We have a vessel monitoring system, and perhaps it might be useful someday, time permitting, to visit our fisheries building to see how this equipment works, which guides we are monitoring from that what is going on in our oceans to be able to guide our vessels. If there's any particular vessel we would want them to check on, we would direct that from using our equipment from the office. We have also staff that are currently doing the inspections, and they are doing that on land and in the sea. We do have partnerships with other countries, and we determined pilots get involved in joint operations within the SADC framework. But we also collaborate with other in the country, other law enforcement agencies, including the Interpol. And I must indicate that the Interpol is regarding us quite highly. They have actually invited our officers, considering the input that they've made in the past, to participate in further missions. And other countries do take us very, very serious within the constraints of the resources that we have. And we do provide the reporting. We have been providing the reporting, even though we have not acceded yet to the agreement. So we do have the resources. We still need more because, for instance, we would wish when the resources permit that we will get a surveillance aircraft, and we are collaborating within PAGISA with other departments to make sure that we can strengthen the aspects of the ocean safety, which is led by DIA. But at the moment, we are looking at enhancing our capacity in terms of more people, but even better technology than we have at the moment. We have a relationship also with the Navy and other law enforcement agencies to improve the situation we have. And I must admit, yes, we have limited resources. That is very, very clear.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DDG. I cannot add much more than what the DDG has alluded to, but with regards to the aircraft and the vessel monitoring system, the VMS, as the DDG mentioned, we've got it in-house, but we're also expanding its current capabilities by combining the effort, because our vessel monitoring system only mainly focuses on the right shoulders. In other words, the approximately 2,900 plus right shoulders, they're compelled to have a transponder on board their vessels, and when they respond, we are capable of actually seeing those vessels. Now, the remainder of the vessels, specifically the IUU, the illegal, unreported, and unregulated vessels, those are the ones we cannot see. Those are the ones that, as the DDG mentioned, Operation Pakisa intends to address. But we don't leave it at that. We go to the extra mile to collaborate with other government institutions like the Department of Transport, specifically the South African Maritime Safety Authority, as well as the South African National Defence Force, which uses, for example, your coastal radars on specific locations. We use that to enlarge the picture from the vessel monitoring system. By doing that, we can see more, and that is one of the reasons why we've been successful. We the only country that has ever apprehended a total of 7. It was actually a total of 10 vessels in 1 year that we've managed to apprehend. And as the DDG mentioned, Interpol look at South Africa with great regard based on those incidents, not only on IUU fishing, but also your inshore resources and the work that we've done there. In addition, while we don't have an aircraft to further enlarge the surveillance and monitoring picture, we do joint operations with the South African National Defence Force, where we utilize an offshore aircraft, and it's manned by Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries officials, and we do offshore physical surveillance patrols. In the inshore environment, we, with the DG's approval, we procure the services of the inshore aircraft to do the inshore IUU fishing activities. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much. At this stage, I'll go back to the honorable members if they have any follow-up to the clarities that have been given before we pass the recommendation. If not, then I'll proceed with the recommendation, which reads as follows. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the agreement on port state measures to prevent, deter and eliminate illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing, referred to it, recommends that the Council, in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution, approve the said agreement report to be considered. And we have a mover and a seconder.
I move, Chairperson.
Then a seconder. Honorable Gaila and Honorable Mastango. Any contrary view? No contrary view. Can you please switch on your off your mic? I should have asked as we were doing the presentation. With regard to the processes that you have followed before coming with the agreements to the Select Committee, what processes have been involved in terms of consultation at the level of cabinet, at the level of stakeholders, including perhaps civil society, fellow departments that may be affected by this? I know it's something that I should have asked before we endorse this agreement, but just for interest sake, we would like to know what processes have been followed. DDG.
Chair, I'm going to ask Marisa because she has been long in this matter. Indeed, we have gone through several processes that is running for some years now. I'll let Marisa just talk to that because she has consistently been on this process.
The accession process has been quite lengthy with regards to IOTC, CCSPT and port state measures. We started off the port state measures, for example, with internalizing and conducting a feasibility study to see whether the implementation of it was of benefit to South Africa, and that study came out in 2011 that focused the department into moving towards acceding to the port state measures. All three agreements, as I've earlier alluded to, went through legal opinions to the state law advisors of the Departments of Justice and Constitutional Development, as well as DIRCO. There were to and fro consultations between the department as well as the state law advisors with regards to the agreements up until a point that it reached the legal opinions that stated that we are allowed to accede to the agreements. And that it doesn't go against the domestic law of South Africa. DIRCO has advised us on the process, the entire accession process, because it falls under Constitution number 231 of 2. Parliamentary approval is needed and required by all three agreements. And hence the process of coming and seeking parliamentary approval. Cabinet approval was obtained in last year, August 2013, through the previous administration and by the previous Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. We are hopeful to receive the approval through Parliament. And after that, between the line function department as well as the International Relations and Cooperation Department, we will facilitate the rest of the process to ensuring that the instruments are deposited to the secretariat.
Yes, civil society organizations.
And they've all been they have all been consulted right at the beginning, even before the whole process was undertaken. There were internal departmental procedures. The department has an international International Committee for Cooperation is established within the department. So all the consultations happened before that, so it went through an internal process. ICC was consulted as well as our DEXCO, and the full consultation, like I said, has been underway before even it went through the different levels of the department.
The Adam Commission, on my part, was to indicate to you that as much as the members were asking questions and that you've been responding, was to say that we still need your responses in writing, including the last statement on the consultation processes. And then that will be then sent to the committee secretary. So you will deal with you in terms of the conduct and all that. At this stage, we would like to thank PDG and your team for the presentation and your responses to questions. As you know that we have will be taking the process forward by recommending to the House. for the endorsement of the three agreements. So at this stage, we'll allow you to leave because we are still going to deal with other items on the agenda as the members. Why see you just give us a few moments just to go through the endorsement of the minutes, and then you can come in because there's a lunch prepared for everyone. Yeah. Thank you very much. We also allow us other guests who are with us to just excuse us, and then we'll just come back after we've gone through the minutes of the last meeting. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairperson, is it okay if I leave my stuff here?
Yeah,
okay. Okay, thank you so much.
Honourable members, on the minutes, I think we got all the minutes. They were sent to us and they had the opportunity to go through them. What we're going to do now is to go page by page to check for omissions and corrections, and then we endorse the minutes by moving for the adoption and second. Page 1, any corrections or omissions? Page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. Can we have a mover for the confirmation of the minutes? Honorable Prince. Can we have a seconder? Honorable Matebas. Let me just check if you are in the part of the last meeting, Honorable Matebas. You had the apology, so you can't second. Honorable Mlambo. Oh. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, honorable members. That was the last item. You are all invited to lunch. Thank you very much. Oh, lunch will be served. Thank you very much, for the attendance and your participation. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
This is stronger. Yeah, thanks for the other time. I'll save it now. In the middle. Hello? Yeah. On top, medium. Okay, thank you. Okay.